Shelley said that poets are the unacknowledged legislators of the world. One might add unacknowledged historians to that assessment. Our next guest does just that with her latest work, and the effort to preserve family history was probably never more critical, seeing as she is the descendant of slaves. Nikki Finney is a poet, an assistant professor of creative writing at the University of Kentucky, founding member of the Afro-Latian Poets, author of On Wings Made of Gauze and the new collection, Rice. She says she's been writing for as long as she has had memory, and we welcome her to the show today to talk about the poet's role, how she feels it, and of her work in chronicling the history of her clan. Nikki, welcome to the Pacific Northwest.
Thank you.
Nice to have you here. That line that ends your bio in the book, Rice, it is said that you've been writing for as long as you've had memory. So tell us your earliest writing memory.
I remember my mother and my father, who were civil rights workers in the South. I remember standing at a church window watching them drive off to another rally to protest another human rights, civil rights issue. And I remember having to stay in that church and not be able to go with them because I was too young. And I remember thinking there must be something I can do to participate because I came from a community that participated on all different kinds of levels. And I remember thinking, because I loved words and because I loved writing and because I was a bookworm from early on, maybe what I could do was in some way write down, be a witness to what I saw my parents doing, what I saw my community doing, what I saw my math teacher doing. If I couldn't be out in the streets yet, maybe I could stand here and do that kind of work. And so my first memories are of being a witness to what my community was saying to the world at that time about see us as who we are, see us full and whole, and treat us like that.
And how old were you at the time?
I must have been at that time probably maybe nine or 10.
And you know, I'm just thinking of my daughter who's 7 and who was lying down on the floor last night when I was doing another interview and thinking how important those memories of childhood, the things that the parents expose the kids to and how they really shape. I might just think she's bored and sleeping on the couch, and who knows, some thing she heard last night might totally change her life and give her guidance for the future. So it's amazing how those memories shape us.
Well, I have two brothers who grew up in the same household, heard the same things that I heard about being responsible and being a witness and standing together. And none of them happen to be interested in writing or in the arts. Both of them are doing something else. Children are very different. Children have different sensibilities. You never know what they're going to clutch on to and hold on to in their lives. And I happened to hold on to this at a very early age, and they held on to something else. And so I think it's really important to be in touch with children's spirits at a very early age, because they're all can be very different in the same household.
Yeah. What other early poetry memories do you have?
Part of my growing up happened on a farm in South Carolina. My grandparents were farmers. And so a lot of my memories have to do with the outside world and with nature and being very affected by hog killing time or seeing the slaughter of animals, which I thought was just something abominable that nobody else around me thought was abominable, because that's how we ate and that's how they, you know, made some money and made a living. But again, something about my sensibilities had to do something with that information. And so I put it down in one of those 5-year diaries that sometimes we are given as girls and boys and have a little key to. And I was trying to just work out my feelings about those kinds of things. So I really believe that at that early age, I was a living sponge, just taking in the different kinds of things that affected me as a little person in the world. And so I remember those kinds of times. I remember the beauty of the land. I remember my grandparents had 100 acres of farmland. And I remember noticing it and trying to make my brothers notice it. And they kept saying, "What are you looking at? You know, I don't see what you're seeing." And I think that really is what a poet does. A poet recognizes things that sometimes others of us might not recognize and wants you know, to pay attention to it and to bring others' attention to it as well. I think that's my responsibility.
Allen Ginsberg, who was a guest on this program in 1994, a couple of years before he died, said that poets are people who notice what they notice. So that might be in line with what you're talking about.
I think that's true.
Yeah. Ethelbert Miller was also a guest on the show, and he included you in his anthology here, In Search of Color Everywhere, which is a delightful book. And he once said on this program that we are all children of Whitman, talking about Walt Whitman. Does that resonate with you?
I think so. I love Walt Whitman's work. I read it voraciously when I was growing up, one of the many different writers that I read. But I was definitely in tune to what he was talking about and went on those voyages with him in his mind when I read his work.
Yeah,
definitely.
And so who are some of those other poets that you acknowledge as influences?
And if we can open it up, not just poets, because most of the folks who I acknowledge as having been incredibly influential on me weren't just poets. I didn't come up in a community where people aspired to be poets or writers, basically, but there were poets and writers among those people. My grandmother, who's 98 and will be 99 in July, I think is an amazing poet because of how she sees the world. I happen to love books and pick them up and held them close. But I fell in love with Black folks on the porch telling stories as the sun was going down. I fell in love with the way people walk down the street, the dancing, the food, the laughter, the way we love each other. All those things were central to me. And I also, I mean, in the same time, I read all of the poets that were in my, you know, elementary school books, but I really didn't burst into poetry until I became a child of the Black Arts Movement of the 60s. And I really thought that those poets were speaking in a tongue that I could absolutely dance with, Nikki Giovanni and Sonia Sanchez and Mari Evans and Donnell Lee and Gwen Brooks and Lucille Clifton. And if you hook it back up to the generation before that, to Langston Hughes and to other writers of the Harlem Renaissance, I fed off all of them. I also fed off Walt Whitman and his generation of poets as well. So I read everything. I didn't just read one particular kind of work. I still try to do that same kind of reading with languages and with literature.
Yeah.